One Gallery is open Thursday through Saturday from 11 to 7. The gallery is also on Facebook. Learn more at blackfawnart.com. Stay tuned for Art Waves with Wendy Butler, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for staying with KHSU and making it a part of your 4th of July. I'm Wendy Butler, and it's once again time for Art Waves. Two interviews on today's program. Later, New Orleans-based Vaudi Gras comes to the Mateel Community Center in Redway for a July 11th performance. It is produced by Lady Beast Productions, and I've got Lady Beast as my guest. First today, Crescent City-based Smokey Bill Harper. His black and white photographs are at Del Norte County Courthouse in Crescent City through August 10th. The exhibit titled Having Fun from the Desert to Crescent City is part of Del Norte Association for Cultural Awareness's Art in Public Places. Smokey Bill Harper is fighting throat cancer, but enthusiastically, he took the time to speak with me about the therapeutic power of photography in his life. Smokey Bill joins us by phone. I was looking at the photograph that was sent to me for your exhibition, and I'm noticing it's called Sudden Stop. And it looks like it has boulders in it.
Yeah.
And a reflection of a type of wall on the water.
Yes. I've been working on another version of that photograph. I was at the harbor, and I was taking pictures of a reflection of a fence that stretched out for a few hundred feet. And as I snapped the picture, a seal jumped into the water and caused ripples.
Oh.
That's how you get that design through the water. And in the harbor, the boulders are breakwater.
Yeah, the boulders, in the harbor.
Crescent City Harbor.
Right. Oh, and the boulders, you said they're breakwater?
Boulders are breakwater. I was taking a picture of a reflection, and as I took the picture, a seal dived into the water and caused a motion in the fence and made that design.
Oh, yeah, it's very beautiful. I was wondering what made that design in the water. Wow. Let me ask you this. Am I correct? It is a black and white photograph?
Yeah, that's all I do anymore.
Oh, why do you prefer to do black and white photographs?
I started with photography 40 years ago, and that's all they would teach me. So I got to where I really like the contrast of the blacks and the whites.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things in black and white.
Let me ask you this. Do you develop your photographs in a regular dark room?
No, the government doesn't allow the chemicals anymore.
Oh.
So I've had to switch to a digital camera.
Okay.
And with a digital camera, I had to learn how my mind was set for a negative version of pictures. And when you go to digital, everything is a positive. So you have to reverse all your thoughts of when you're doing something on what it's going to be. I don't know how to explain that.
Well, no, nobody's ever said that. And the photographers I've spoken to about thinking in the negative, and now, what does that mean when you think in the negative?
If you look at a piece of film, everything is reversed.
It's reversed.
Your blacks are white and your whites are black. And when you go to digital, it's normal. You see just normal that your eyes see.
Wow. But the way you were familiar with photographing was the opposite way. And does that have to do with developing your own photographs in the darkroom? Does it come from that, developing the negative?
Yeah, and in the darkroom, you take your negative. After you develop the film and you have a negative, and then you take your negative and make it into a positive. And the new cameras with the digital do that inside of the camera, so everything comes out positive. But you have to, in your mind, reverse everything that you did when you were doing film. In the old-fashioned film, everything was upside down. If you can imagine looking into a viewfinder and seeing everything upside down, and then they came out with a camera that was a reflex camera, which mirrors change things around so everything would be right side up.
How does the quality of these photographs, in your opinion, compare with the years you spent developing them yourself in the darkroom?
Well, the digital camera, I must say, is takes a lot of effort out of taking a picture.
Yeah.
You had to say, if you took a picture in Yosemite and you didn't know what you had to, you ran back home and developed it. And if you made a mistake, you'd have to run back to Yosemite, you know, another 400 miles one way and 400 miles the next. So the digital cameras are great because you can see the mistakes you made on the screen on the back of the camera. You can see the picture that you took. And then if you made a mistake or you want to make adjustments, you can adjust your camera at that time make it correct without traveling 400 miles to see what you did.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying.
Now people can take a picture with their phone.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
It really makes me feel kind of bad because I like taking a picture and I feel like things are getting way out of my hand. But as I get older, I have to accept those things.
Yeah, I suppose that's the case. Have you made your living as a professional photographer?
No, not at all. I kind of didn't do too much with it, and I got cancer. And during the time I've been fighting cancer, I went to start taking pictures, and it helped me get through all the things with cancer, and I made it. I'm alive.
Yeah.
And now I do it constantly. And right now I'm getting ready with the picture that you saw of the sudden stop.
Mm-hmm.
I have another version of that picture, and we're having a gigantic contest here. It's going to be in October. And I'm really getting excited. Every day, in fact, this morning, I've just been sitting and looking at what I was making the shot into. Anyway.
Well, who's having the contest? Is that through the Del Norte Association for Cultural Awareness, or is it...
They're always involved. They're not putting this show on. A couple of galleries in Crescent City are putting the show on in our cultural center. And it's going to be a big one. Everybody from the whole Northwest will be there. They give out, in the past, they've given out $1,000, but they're stretching it there's only $800 this year, but they have different things you can take a picture of and get more. They're adding it up with another $200 to take a picture of something else. Anyway.
Yeah, nice. Let me ask you, if you wouldn't mind, just I want you to describe, finally, as a final question I'm going to ask you, describe for me what you consider the most unusual photograph that you've taken.
The sudden stop.
That is the most unusual?
Everything else I've taken, I really like nature as far as like landscape pictures and everything. And this picture came out almost abstract. And the one that's coming out that I'm doing now is another version of the sudden stop that shows the immediate rings that the seal, when he dived into the water, and it's starting with the rings, and as the rings spread out, it goes into more reflection, and each ring has a reflection in it of the fence that you see in that picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like you're exploring even further.
Oh, I love it.
That the shot or different variations of the shot.
I'm 76 years old, and I'm sitting there playing like a kid.
Oh, well, I don't think that we can ask for anything more than that. You're finding the joy.
I'm really happy with that. And I have even more friends, people coming in. And now a gallery I belong to is associated with the school system in Crescent City.
Mm-hmm.
And the school system is being taught by our gallery how to do pottery, how to paint, mm-hmm. and like substitutes for the art classes that the schools couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they're having me do is to show them how they got to the digital.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is teaching kids about photography, and they're hoping that I can help. You know, like we study history.
Yeah.
And if you study the history of the camera, and people can see where it developed all the way into what we have now, and taking a picture with your phone. It's all technology, but I still like it the old-fashioned way.
Smokey Bill Harper. His black-and-white photographs are at the Del Norte County Courthouse, 450 H Street, Crescent City, through August 10th. The courthouse is open from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. weekdays, except state holidays. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. Lady Beast Productions presents Vadi Gras, performing Transistence, a multifaceted circus spectacle. Based in New Orleans, Vadi Gras is embarking on its first national tour and is coming to Redway's Mateel Community Center on Tuesday, July 11th. Showtime is 9 p.m. My guest by phone is the founder of Lady Beast Productions. This is Lady Beast. I looked up your company on Facebook, actually, because I wanted to find out more about Vadi Gras. And it's really interesting because of all of the different things that are referenced on here. The underground, immersive, experimental circus collective provides whip-cracking, contortion, and fire-breathing aerials with operatic clown antics and surrealist juggling mayhem. It's very
There's a total of six people in the cast,
uh-huh.
And all of us have different skill sets, and we kind of use a little bit of everything. In this show specifically, we don't have fire breathing, but Vadi Gras in general has a lot of fire in it. We have a cowboy in the show who cracks whips and does lassos. I'm an escape artist and aerialist, and I do a number of different acts, but there's another lady in the show who's an aerialist, and she does contortion. We've got a burlesque girl who's our body burlesque lady. We have a knife thrower who's also a classical violin player, our opera singer who does sideshow. So we're pretty, like, in the circus world, we've got quite an unusual group of people coming together to make these shows. Yeah.
Now, you're coming together very diverse. You're coming together. Is there a through line? In other words, is there, I don't know, a theme or something that you represent, even though there are so many different acts that are part of your company?
Definitely. I mean, I would say that our shows are really comical. Like, it's a vaudeville show.
Uh-huh.
Think of old vaudeville that was happening in the 1920s, where you would have artists up on stage making jokes, and there would be burlesque, and there would be people are chasing each other around the stage, and different circus acts and variety acts. So we definitely are something that is very old world, but we give it a new nuance to it that is applicable in today's society. So The show that we're bringing on tour, The Transistence, is a reference to what is happening in the world right now and how divided our world is, and even the United States, given the political climate. But we aren't directly talking about that. We're talking, the show is about transisting above negativity or like using art as a way to empower people, and comedy and laughter. So I would say what really ties everything together is the dark comedy and the old world vaudeville-ness of Mardi Gras mixed in with jokes and quips that are applicable to people now, things that you can relate to. It's really important to us to break that fourth wall of theater and have the audience heckle us and have them cheer us on and feel like they're a part of something. That's why we call ourselves immersive theater.
That was one of my questions also. Dissolving the fourth wall. I'm wondering, is there an invitation for audience interaction with the performers?
Of course. Almost in every act. We want the audience to boo us, to cheer. We invite some of the audience up on stage. There's a big surprise piece in the ending where the show can't go on any further without the entire audience coming together with us to make the next thing happen. I don't want to give it away.
Right.
But, yeah.
Now, back to Transistence. I looked it up because I really was not familiar with the word. I mean, it's an actual word.
We made
word.
That word up.
You did?
It's an actual word?
Well, it's. I found it. Let me tell you what, and I think it goes with what you're talking about. Let me read you what I found about it. The characteristic that makes possible the control of voltages or currents so as to accomplish gain or switching action in a circuit.
That totally applies to us.
Yeah.
So the reason why we chose the word transistence is because the entire show is based around this radio that is really manipulating what's happening to all of us and the whole narrative. And, you know, the old radios, transistor radios, people had them in their homes. They became mobile as time went on. And so, you know, currently, right now in the world, people are trying to resist what's happening and negativity and different political things. So we were like, well, what we're trying to do through this radio and through our narrative, we want to transist and go above and beyond and be our best selves.
Yeah. Did you say there is some speaking in this production?
Oh, yeah. So all of the different circus artists, we all have different roles that we play in pre-production outside of what you're seeing on the stage. And our cowboy who cracks whips and does lasso, he's also an amazing creative writer. So I came up with the outline and narrative of the show, and he wrote all of our lines and content based around all of these different characters that are created.
And you're all speaking to, as you're saying, trying to get ahead of or get above the negativities, but you're not specifically referencing our politics in the United States or something like that?
No, we're not specifically referencing. You know, we want it to be something that everyone can apply to. Mm-hmm. We wanted to bring this show nationwide so that people can all feel like they can relate to it. And I feel that direct referencing anything that's happening now would create more separateness than what we would want.
That absolutely makes sense. I have two questions for you personally. One, and you may or may not want to speak to this, why do you call yourself or this production company Lady Beast?
Well, it actually goes back to about 10 years ago, and I built a tiny home in my giant bread truck panel van, and I named the truck Lady Beast. And the reason why I named her that is you have to treat her like a lady. You got to, like, you can't just put your foot on the gas and expect her to go. You have to, like, ease her into anything you want her to go, but she's also a beast and can drive a million miles. So I was before I became a circus artist, I was a performance artist, and I was touring around the United States, and I tumbleweeded into circus, and I, you know, living in this tiny home and having it be something that I was exhibiting and, you know, is very much a part of my life and showing people an alternative way of being, I realized when I came to the stage that me and the truck were one and the same, and I feel like a lady beast myself. So, and it's nice. I mean, like, something that I refer to in a number of different shows, like the idea of being a lady beast, you can be a woman and strong and powerful and still be a lady, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can play both sides of things.
Absolutely.
You'll definitely see in the show more about who Lady Beast is. My characters are often blended in gender and roles that in society we as women have to take, or things that we have to leave behind in order to fit better into masculine roles. So it's something that just applies to where I am in my life, but also on stage.
Now, where you are in your life, does your performance background or your arts background go back to, gymnastics when you were a child, or theater, or visual art? I mean, where did all of this begin?
So, for me personally, everyone had, you know, a very different path into what they did in the show. But I was a track athlete who was training to possibly go to the Olympics. My father went to the Olympics, and it was my dream to also go to the Olympics. So I was training really hard to do that. But I was also a visual artist. So when I was getting ready to go to college, and my pathway was for me to be on a Division I track team, and in that year, I think it was 2004, that was the first year that women could compete in the decathlon,
mm-hmm.
That it became a nationwide thing. And I was like, I'm not only going to compete in the decathlon, I'm going to place in it in college and then go on further to the Olympics eventually. So, last minute before I was deciding where I was going to go to school, I was like, you know what? This is not going to fulfill me emotionally. So I switched everything and went to art school and got my BFA. And then I continued on being an athlete individually, and circus was definitely the way in which that I could be an artist and athlete. And I found that I could have the fusion of the two things.
Yeah. So you studied circus in college?
No, I studied circus after college. I'm actually I'm on the older end of things in terms of becoming a circus artist, but because I had an athletic background, I jumped into it pretty quickly. Most people begin their circus career as a child or in their teens. I was in my 20s. I don't want to give away how old I am.
Oh, right.
You know, I was in my 20s.
Right. No. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Circus, what does circus mean for you? You're studying circus, learning circus, being in circus. I mean, we're not talking about Ringling Brothers, which, of course, has discontinued.
Right. So, you know, I've done a couple of interviews recently, and mm-hmm. the discussion about Ringling Brothers and the dissolve of it.
Mm.
I had a couple of friends that are in Ringling or were in Ringling.
Oh.
One friend was the human cannonball, and another friend was a clown in Ringling. And really, I don't think that Ringling applies to today for people. Their way in which they related and brought shows on the road, that idea really died away. People don't want to go to a giant arena and see a show where the performers are extremely disconnected from who they're, you know, from themselves. It doesn't make you feel good about yourself. But I'll tell you what, small circuses are thriving, and we're on the rise. And I'm talking about small circuses that are 5 or 6 people, or even smaller, 10 people. And, you know, we're breaking the fourth wall. We're fusing it with visual arts and contemporary work and modern dance where, you know, it's more of a contemporary way to see these superhuman things that people do.
And that was Lady Beast of Lady Beast Productions, which presents Vardi Gras, Transistence, Tuesday, July 11th at 9 p.m. at the Mateel Community Center, 59 Rusk Lane, Redway. Doors open at 8 p.m. To find out more about Vardi Gras and the Transistence, you can visit Facebook, and you can also go to mateel.org for information and for tickets. Art Waves is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University. Regular broadcasts are on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. You can listen to it live and to archived programs at khsu.org. And podcasts are on iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
Hi, this is Ray from Car Talk. You know, for the last 30 years, you've had to put up with this. And we know it's been a struggle. Well, it's time for Car Talk to make room on this station for something new and hopefully a little more professional. You can still listen to us online, but here on the station, we hope you enjoy the next generation of great programs. And thanks.
Join us this Saturday beginning at 10 to hear Planet Money and How I Built This.
On Radiolab, you'll hear a lot of this.
No.
This whole notion is totally wrong.
Really?
But I thought...
No.
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 Wait.
Not quite.
But Einstein tells you...
That to me just seems...
But...
So... Jeez.
Come on.
But you'll also hear a lot of this.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the ticket.
Tune in to Radiolab to hear us grapple with and sometimes understand the world's mysteries.
Tuesdays at 7 on KHSU.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest, the greatest, the most spectacular show in entertainment history.
What happened?
Put your hands together for the fabulous...
Los Ensemble Economique with DJ Rat Race and Jacob Sweden. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight on KHSU.
What have you prepared for me tonight?
Located on the campus of Humboldt State University, this is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. KHSU's business writers support the station and expose their products, services, and events to KHSU's loyal listeners.